Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoyed the show. This story was first published on May 3rd of 2009 under the headline Prineville, the Oregon town that refused to die. Here we go. Early Oregon history is full of stories of towns that were big stuff until the railroad came through somewhere else. Today, most of those towns are tiny bedroom communities whose residents drive to work in the lucky towns, now cities, that won that fight over the railroad route. Many of them are ghost towns or exist only in the Oregon Geographic Names reference. But there's one such town that just refused to give up, and that is Prineville. Today, Prineville is nowhere near as big and successful as its one-time rival, Bend, but it's a live, hopping Oregon town. You could say that's because Les Schwab started his business there and kept it until his death. The executives in charge of the company now have since moved it to Bend. But that's more a symptom than the cause. And the cause, well, it may have something to do with why you used to see so many big trucks with Les Schwab's logo on them. The secret of Prineville's success goes back to a few years after its citizens got the disappointing news that they'd been outmaneuvered in their courtship of the railroad. Well, actually, nature had outmaneuvered them. The railroad lines didn't want to mess with the crooked river. They just shot across the high desert through nearby Bend, missing Prineville by 18 miles. By 1911, it was a done deal. This was Prineville's cue to lay down and die. It did nothing of the kind. Instead, the city's 1,200 citizens set out to take care of the problem themselves. First, they incorporated the Prineville and Eastern Railway. A deal with a land promoter didn't work out, so the city put a bond issue on the ballot. 358 people voted yes, and one single person voted no. The city got to work. Meanwhile, the First World War had raised the price of raw materials, so they had to go back to the voters in 1916 for more money. The no camp saw a 1,400% increase in its support, rocketing up to 14 votes, but the yes votes still totaled 202. Finally, on July 25th, 1918, the Crook County Journal ran a banner headline in type an inch and a half high, "Railroad is here!" And so it was. But it carried an ominous load. The very first train brought an entire car full of automobiles with it, something Randall Mills, writing in the middle of the golden age of car travel, compared to, quote, "a prisoner building his own gallows." Sure enough, within just a few years of the railroad's construction, motor vehicles had started taking over. Prineville was left with a brand new railroad that few were using and $500,000 in bonded indebtedness, which is a lot of debt for a town whose population was still under 2,000. So the city council passed an ordinance. All Prineville businesses had to have licenses and report the means by which freight left town. If it were shipped by any means other than the city railroad or the business's own truck fleet, it was taxed at 10 cents a pound. And of course, 10 cents a pound in 1918 was a lot of money. Naturally, this was not popular with trucking outfits, which had gotten used to the business and hated to see it go. But their outrage fell on deaf ears, and the plan worked. In 1940, the city proudly proclaimed the railroad debt-free at last. To this day, the railroad, now known as the Prineville City Railway, is still in operation. Author Gulick says that as of 1991, the railroad ordinance was still on the books, and the community spirit the railroad project forged in Prineville actually is still noticeable there. Key sources in this story have included works by Bill Gulick and Randall V. Mills, along with archives of the Crook County Journal. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is a reading from one of roughly 330 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, and a ton of great historic photos and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to its sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for future episodes? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. You can also ping me on Twitter @@offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at around 6 a.m. So the next one will be on your device and ready to go in a couple of days at most. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today and, if applicable, tomorrow with good stuff. Bye now.